Welcome to the second episode of The Void of Literature.
I'm Nick, and this is Elijah. Today we will be discussing Oliver Twist by Charles Dickens.
Quickly before we start, today we are drinking Gorgeous Geisha, which is a tea from T2. It is a very floral tea with a slight bit of bitterness, and it's pretty good.
Yeah, this tea is very good as an iced tea as well, particularly in summer. So if you're looking for an iced tea, then this is perfect for that. All right, let's get started with the second episode of The Void of Literature.
So Nick, what's so good about Oliver Twist?
Well, the first point I have for you is that it has a good plot and a good storyline. It has a very clear story arc, so it starts off relatively dramatically, and it goes down and explains to you how the world works and what's actually happening and why the main character is how he is. And then it goes up to a point, and then it comes back down again when the reader's like, oh, this is the resolution. But then it goes back up to the eventual main climax, then flattens out a little bit for the resolution. I think this story arc is done very well because there's a bit in the middle where it's like the reader's like, is it done? Is that the story over? And then suddenly there's a scene with the villains, and the villains show that they're plotting something against the main character. So I think the story arc is really good and is one of the better ones I've read.
Yeah, I agree with everything Nick said. The story arc is very clear, and you can clearly see that Dickens has had the ideas for a long time, and he just had to put them together, and it was made pretty easy for the reader to see whether stuff was the climax, the end, the beginning, or stuff like that. But as we'll talk about later, it was not perfect. Second point under good plot / storyline is that all the characters in the story had very clear goals. You could quite clearly see what Oliver Twist wanted, and you can quite clearly see what the villains wanted. Like, the intentions and the wants of characters were very well portrayed, and I think it was like quite easy for people to see what they wanted.
As well as that, there was a very obvious resolution. So after the final climax, it flattened out and Oliver was finally put at rest, if that makes sense. It wasn't one of the books where they were trying to get you thinking of what happens next. It obviously finished at a point. And I think I like that in books because then I can leave that behind knowing that the world has resolved itself. That makes sense?
Yeah, the resolution was quite easy to see because, you could see that everything has ended. The villains are, not there anymore. And it's quite easy to see because everything has quieted down. The next thing good about Oliver Twist is action.
Yeah, Oliver Twist is very exciting at times. And as we talked about in our previous Into Kill a Mockingbird, the episode before this, you should check it out if you haven't yet. Just because it isn't dragons and monsters doesn't mean it can't be exciting. It's obviously, because the main character isn't actually super strong, it makes it even more scary when the villains pursue the character, and it's more exciting than having a super strong character take on a dragon because you know that character's going to win. But in this book, you don't know Oliver's going to win. So I think that's really good. As well as this, talking about the action, the tension builds up really well. Like you can see there's like a small problem, and then that problem gradually grows until it seems insurmountable, and then maybe the hero overcomes it, or maybe they don't, or maybe the problem is somehow gone away, and then it goes back down to the lowest, but then it builds up even more. And so in this way, it's just making it like as if it was like action and then just backs away a little bit. So it's not completely all action. And then it slowly gets more and more dangerous and scary as you go on.
Yeah, it is nice and exciting, as like what Nick said, the character isn't the strongest person in the world fighting epic dragons and things like that. It's just a little boy that has no money whatsoever, just in the world where everything was dangerous, and like, it's not always like he doesn't always win things. It's not like you know that's gonna win because. Even if it's like some things are like you don't know whether it's gonna win because it's not really clear, but you still kind of know they're gonna win. But this one, this book, not like that. Sometimes he just doesn't win. And for good tension build up, I think it also builds up tension quite well, as like the atmosphere of the like time which in Oliver Twist is set is quite like. Like dangerous, and you just never know what's going to happen, and some bits can be really tense, which is good for tension build up.
Yeah, adding on to what you just said, there are lots of exciting climaxes because, like, as you just said, you don't know if he's going to win or not. So that makes the climaxes even more tense and more exciting than it. Like, for example, I'm just gonna draw on fairy tales for an example. In fairy tales, there's always a climax, but you always know the character's gonna win, at least in this day and age. Although the original fairy tales, not always true. The
Yeah,
main
not too
character didn't
great, were
always win.
they?
Yeah, but our third point is that the villains are very good. They're very obvious. It's clear who the villains are. And like, Dickens exposes them really well because at the start they seem helpful. And then you slowly reveal that they're not what they seem. So I think this is really good.
Yeah. Like, with all like children's storybooks and stuff, it's always like, oh yeah, I know that person's the villain because it's doing all that villainous stuff. But for this book, it's where it's like, I don't know whether Oliver should trust that dude or whether he should, I don't know, maybe try consider going away from them. But then slowly and slowly, you can figure out whether they're actually a villain or they're just trying to help him. And I think it adds a nice effect to the book, which is pretty nice.
As well as this, in most fantasy books, I'm sorry to keep slandering fantasy, but it's just such a good example. The villains are so far removed from the reader. Like, usually it's like an evil witch, for example, and you don't really understand why they're doing what they do. You just accept they're evil, they do this stuff. But in this book, you can understand why the villains do what they do, because if they didn't do what they do, they would perish in the criminal underworld. So therefore, you can identify because they're just trying to survive like everyone else in this world.
Yeah, like I agree with that. Like, also slandering on fantasy books. Not that they are bad, as we might do some good ones soon. Like, you can't really identify with the antagonist, as they're always like, the books make you seem like they are crazy and just evil when they were born. But with this book, you can see why they're doing it. You can see that, like, it's kind of like modern day poverty. It's like they need money to survive. They have to be villains, otherwise they die. So I think this book like, makes you identify with the villains, and it's like, it adds kind of emotion, as you can tell why the villain's doing something, rather than just, oh, they were born a villain, therefore they suck.
Yeah, I would agree with that. While Oliver Twist is a good book, there are some bad things on it, some points and respects where Dickens fails. Can you tell us about this, Elijah?
Well, Dickens, like a lot of classics, the books are really long, but for this book, there's a bit too many words. Like, Dickens says 500 words when there could be three just describing one little scene. And I think there was a lot more chance for more action and, like, just build up and stuff, instead of talking about how Oliver just walked around in the street for, like, way too many chapters.
Yeah, so a good example of this is Lord of the Rings. So in Lord of the Rings, which I know you haven't read, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, I have not read that.
Lord of the Rings is very similar to Oliver Twist in that while I think that J.R.R. Tolkien, definitely he shapes modern fantasy, I do think that he makes his characters walk and describes how they walk far too much. Because while, yes, characters have to get places, and how do they do that? They walk or they ride on a horse, blah, blah, blah. But I think the fact that it's lots of description, it can get a bit slow and annoying to read. Like, you want to keep the action going, and if you're just describing how they walk or how they're talking to a particular person, while that's fine for some of it, I don't think if you keep doing that the whole book, that it will be very exciting to read. It's honestly a bit boring to read.
Yeah, I agree with that, because that one time I tried reading The Hobbit, which is kind of like the sequel to Lord of the Rings, I gave
it's
up on
prequel.
It half. Oh, okay.
It's the prequel.
Yeah, okay,
but,
I never read the actual books, but I just gave up on it. It was just walking, and I think if there wasn't the part of action in this, I think a lot of people would have also given up on this book, as it wasn't the best either. The next point is the plot is sometimes overwhelming. Like, they don't add stuff to the plot that are, like, common, and it can just be a bit overwhelming and maybe scare some people away.
Well, yeah, because this actually links with our previous point. Because Dickens sometimes adds things that actually don't add anything to the plot. Like, for example, one of the characters forgets to pay for something. But that doesn't actually change anything in the end. Like, it doesn't describe the character particularly. Yeah, I would say that it's not the best in terms of that.
Yeah. Adding with this, like, as we said earlier for the better things, we said that it's quite exciting. But the thing is, there are too many excitements, you know? Too many climaxes. Like, there could be one big climax, or, like, but, like, there's just too many climaxes, quite too exciting. And falling action isn't the best either. Like, I kind of think Dickens, for this book, didn't really know how to and those many climaxes. And I think if the falling action was better, the climaxes might have been better as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that since he has climax after climax after climax, that might be, many people would be happy with that. They like lots of action. I'm not going to insult fantasy any further, but I think that since there's a lot of climaxes, it just gets, while it's in the middle, it's boring to read. When there are the climaxes, and there's so many of them, it gets annoying to read so many tight, tense action scenes where the character's in mortal peril. Because you don't want that at the beginning of the book. You want that at the end. You want an exciting ending. And then they just overcome the issue. Not they just overcome an issue. Then they just overcome an issue. And this is a style that can be used if you want to create a sense of peril in the world. But I think that if the character's always in such danger, it just gets boring to read.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because too much action, too much excitement is boring.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's pretty much it for all the bad stuff. It may seem like a lot, and it is a lot. Well, yeah, it just is a lot of bad stuff. I think Dickens could have done a bit better with this, making it maybe a bit better. As we'll tell you the ratings later, after we read the blurb.
Now here's the blurb from Oliver Twist. When orphan Oliver runs away from the workhouse, he is taken in by a gang of pickpockets. But his real family is out there somewhere, and with help from the kind-hearted Nancy and the mischievous Artful Dodger, Oliver must escape from London's criminal underworld and find them.
Maybe that blurb will encourage you to read it. And now it's time for our ratings.
Personally, I'm going to rate it 5 out of 10. Because as I said earlier, the action's too much, but in between the action is slow. So it just creates a long, annoying book to read. Although, there is a thing. It was written a while ago, so that would have been probably what was wanted a while ago. And like Tolkien, as I said earlier, Dickens did shape books. And like all the books we read today. And so a point in his favour is that the plot is good, and if he had written it now, he would have written it with more, like, this age in mind. But unfortunately, I can't go past the too much action and the middle.
Yeah.
I just can't go past it.
Yeah, I agree with that. And my rating for this book is 6 out of 10. I think it was okay, I guess, but as Nick said, the middle parts tend to drag on, and you occasionally get that little climax, but it's not, sometimes it's just a small climax, and it's not really that much compared to, let's say, one big climax. And I think the book will take you a while to read, not because it's really thick and a lot of pages, it's just a bit boring, and it tends to drag on the parts that aren't climaxes, and the climaxes just go way too fast and are quite small. So yeah, though I think the plot slash storyline was good, and if it was like written nowadays, as people had a lot more different preferences and tastes back when Dickens wrote the book, I think it would have been a lot better, but unfortunately I cannot create time travel right now, so that's why I rate this 6 out of 10. Okay, and thanks for listening, everyone,
and remember to fill that void.